Our scripture this morning is taken from Ephesians 5, 15 to 17. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, be understanding, but understanding what the will of the Lord is.
Good morning and happy Sabbath. Boy, what a wonderful set of songs that the praise team picked out. It couldn't be more fitting. Before we begin, will you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this Sabbath day, Lord, and for the opportunity to come together and to be able to worship together, Lord. Father, I pray that you'll speak through me, Lord, and deliver these words clearly that you've given me to speak, Father. And Lord, I also want to pray for myself and each person here's sins, Lord, that you'll please forgive us of our sins. Thank you for the opportunities, Lord, that you give us to speak for you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. As we begin this morning, I'd like to start out by going right into Scripture at Matthew 25. It'll be verses 1 through 13. It's the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins. You want to follow along? Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to the 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with the lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Well, this morning I have a life-changing thought that I'd like to talk about. And that would be, what would you do if you knew that today was going to be your last day on this earth? It's a pretty heavy thought. We often think of people coming to the end of life, but we really don't think about it enough. When we don't think about it, we usually think of friends and relatives who are aging, but we aren't applying that thought to ourselves. We don't really think that today could be our last day on this earth. Jesus reminds us in the parable that none of us know the day or the hour of the coming of the Lord, or the day of our demise. When Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he gave some very helpful instructions regarding the use of time. I know Wendell just read this, but I'm going to read it again. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." I want to start out by telling you a story that happened back in August. I'd went to Las Vegas to help my youngest son and his family move back here to Oregon. They'd been living in Las Vegas for about 10 years. They had 3 vehicles they had to bring back, so I agreed to drive his truck back for him. My son led the pack driving a U-Haul truck, and my daughter-in-law, her mother, and 2 of our grandchildren were following in the rear. The speed limit there is 75 miles an hour, and as you can imagine, with that kind of speed, most of the traffic is driving 80, 85 miles an hour, and that's including the semi-trucks. And I remember the days when a U-Haul, you were lucky if you could get them to do 55 miles an hour. But boy, those things nowadays got a lot more power because I wasn't able to keep up with them. I believe we were about 8 hours or so into our trip, and we were going by a lake called Walker Lake, which is a beautiful lake and about 30 miles in length, if you can imagine. That's a lot of water. Whenever my son would pass somebody, I would make sure it was clear, and then I'd go ahead and pass, and then my daughter-in-law would follow and do the same thing. My son safely passed two semis, and I was looking, it looked as if it was clear, and so I proceeded to pass. Well, when I got up beside, I got past the first semi, and both these semis were fairly close together. When I got up to the next semi, there was a little bit, it was straight, but there was a little bit of rolling hills. And so even though it looked like it was clear, just as I got up beside that second semi, there was a car coming straight at me. Like I said, I had my foot to the floor and I was probably doing 85 miles an hour. It was to the point where I knew that it was too late to try to fall back, to try to back off and try to fall behind the semis, and neither one of them were slowing down. I don't know if they just didn't see the car, but they hadn't slowed down to let me around them, so that I knew the only thing I could do was keep my foot to the floor and just pray that I was gonna make it. And I'll tell you, just as I got to the front of that semi and was able to swerve over, just past his front bumper so that I could get over, I maybe missed that car from hitting them head on at about 3 to 4 seconds. I mean, it was that close. It's the closest I've ever come in my life to dying that I'm aware of. And my daughter-in-law and my mother and her mother were watching it right before their eyes, and they said they had been crying and praying because they just knew that I wasn't going to make it. They said that once we stopped and talked, they just said that they knew that I was going to be dead. And needless to say, we were all pretty shooken up. And I know that God and his angels spared my life, and I know they do that, you know, even more than we even realize during our lifetime. I know that events like this may happen where it's real clear to us, but there's a lot of times when we don't realize what's going on around us. A guardian angel is appointed to every follower of Christ. These heavenly watchers shield the righteous from the power of the wicked one. This Satan himself recognized when he said, "Doth Job fear not God not? Hast not thou made a hedge about him, about his house, and about all that he hath on every side?" Job 1, 9, and 10. The agency by which God protects his people is presented in the words of the psalmist. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. That's Psalms 34, 7. We know not what the results of an hour or a moment may determine, and we never should begin our day without committing our ways to the Heavenly Father. His angels are appointed to watch over us. If we put ourselves under their guardianship, then every time of danger, they will be at our right hand. When unconsciously we are in danger of exerting a wrong influence, the angels will be by our side, prompting us to a better course, choosing our words for us, and influencing our actions. That's Christ Object Lessons, page 31 and 34. As I sat praising the Lord and the angels for not only saving my life, but the lives of those in that car that was heading straight at me and the lives of those two semi-truck drivers, all I could think about was, what am I doing with the time that God's given me? I mean, it was a hard reality to know that you're that close to death, and God spares our life, and what are we really doing with the time he's given us? Redeeming the time is not referring primarily to the hours and minutes of a Christian's day, but rather to the opportunities we have to serve him. This is another part of the story. Chantel was having a facial at about 2 p.m. She said she was calm and relaxed, and she was listening to calming music. When she said her phone started buzzing, she said it buzzed for a while and stopped, do it again and stop. She had it on vibrate. She said after the fifth time, she finally decided to pick it up and try to answer it. She said when she did, there was nobody there on the phone, and there was no number showing on the phone of who had called. But she said she got a sick feeling that come over her, and she told Gail, the lady that was doing her facial, that she needed to get on her knees and pray right then, that she had a feeling that something terrible was about to happen to me. So once she got out of her appointment, Chantel called me, and I wasn't aware that she was in an appointment, but needless to say, I was kind of worried about calling her and telling her about how close I'd just come to getting in an accident when I knew she was worrying enough. But when she called, she asked me if I was okay, and so I went ahead and explained to her what had happened. And when she asked me what time it was, I told her it was about 2 p.m., neither one of us could, you know, believe what had happened to her, but there was no doubt that it was the Lord that was ringing her. And the next question is, are we really listening when we're asked to pray? Before I tell you another story in a while, I want you to ask yourselves the same question. How much of my day is used to serve him? How much of my day is spent telling others about him? And how much of our day is spent teaching our children God's ways? The time that he's given us is not ours, it's his, which he has entrusted to us. So what are you doing with the precious gift of time/life that he has given you? It is good for us to think in these terms today. What would you do if today were your last day on this earth? In verse 10 of Matthew 25, we have a powerful statement. It says the door was shut. Call it what you like, the coming of the Lord or the passing of one's life. There is nothing more that can be done about sin, and there is nothing more that can be done about life, because the door has been shut. This message here in this parable is for the church. Five of them went out, five of them went in. Five of them had no oil, and five of them had oil when they needed it. They had lamps, they were all waiting for the bridegroom. They all rose and trimmed their lamps. Then when the foolish were off buying oil, the bridegroom came. Those who were ready went in with him, and the door was shut. In Psalms 90:12, the psalmist prays that God would teach him and others to become good stewards of time. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. God is our time. Our treasure is a simple matter in one aspect. If we know what types of things that God has blessed us with, many are more than willing to worship God by using these gifts. But our time is now, or so we think. God has granted us the grace to get out of bed this morning. Our hearts are still beating, our brains are still waving, and our lungs are still supplying oxygen to all parts of our bodies. Despite how busy we may be or make ourselves, God is asking for our time. In the footnotes in Ephesians, it says, and I really like this, believers who wait the Lord's return are to be energized and careful in the use of their remaining time as bargain hunters during a brief sale offering large discounts. When I read that, I think about all these people that wait in line for hours or days on like a Black Friday sale or something around Christmas time, and it the next story I want to tell you is about when Chantel and I were diving on our last trip on December 3rd in the Cayman Islands at the Great House Wall dive site. Chantel and I have both been diving for roughly about 6 years. We're both certified advanced divers, and we've each logged over 60 hours of dive time. And once you're an advanced diver, you're able to dive to depths of 100 feet in depth. We'd been down on a wall, which for those of you who don't know what a wall is, it's a sheer drop-off where you can't see the bottom. We'd been down at about 104 feet for about 24 minutes. We then ascended up to about 73 feet, and Chantel had noticed a turtle, and we all kind of stopped and sat there watching this turtle, and Chantel was taking pictures, and I was filming her on my GoPro. I'd just ask her if she was okay and how much air she had left with hand signals. She signaled that she was okay and that she had about 2,000 pounds of air left. Chantel was kind of sideways taking the picture of the turtle, and I was back, as I said, filming her, and the way this turtle was ascending, it looked as if it was coming right out of the side of her body or her armpit, so it was a pretty cool looking picture. There was another diver that was there with us that day. He was just a little bit in front of Chantel, and the dive master was in front of us probably about 60 feet or so. The next thing I knew, Chantel had gave an out-of-air signal. And for those of you that know anything about diving, you're supposed to stay fairly close to your partner, and needless to say, I wasn't. After she gave the out-of-air signal, she kind of pushed the guy that was diving with us legs to the side because she'd seen the dive master, and she was just headed straight for him for trying to get for some air, and she gave him the out-of-air signal as well. Mac, which is the dive master, then gave her his backup regulator for her to breathe from. Chantel had just experienced what they tell you in the dive books when you're taking the diver training course, that it only happens one in a million times. And what had happened was her first stage had failed. And the first stage is what hooks to your tank, and then it supplies the air to your regulator that you breathe from. Some of you may be wondering why Chantel just didn't swim to the surface. But when you've been to those depths for that long, you can either burst a lung or you can end up with the bends because of the amount of nitrogen in your bloodstream. And then you end up in bad trouble and end up having to be in a decompression chamber for several days. As I said, when you're diving, you're supposed to stay close to your partner. However, after you've been diving a while, you start to get comfortable and get busy taking pictures. And the next thing you know, you've drifted too far away from your alternate air source. As I said, I was beside her, but I was kind of behind her. And Chantel was looking forward, and the only thing she could see was Mac. And she was just actually breathing when this all happened and realized that there was, all of a sudden, there was no air, and she just emptied her lungs completely of air. So then she went to purge her regulator, and when she did, she took in her lungs full of water. She realized she was in serious trouble, and once she got to Mac, as I said, he gave her his regulator, and that's a good example of what happens in our daily lives when we start to stray away from the Lord and we don't have him right beside us. It truly is the difference between life and death. You see, it is from God who we all receive the sustaining breath of life. As Mac and Chantel were sharing his air on the way back to the boat, and we were following them, all I could do and think about was praising the Lord for Chantel's, saving Chantel's life. Every time before we go diving, I pray for each person that's diving with us on that boat, and I pray for Chantel and I and for the angels to lift us up and to guide us through the water safely. The Holy Spirit, as I was heading back, had once again impressed on my mind what I thought of as soon as I had the incident happen that had happened to me, and that is, are we spiritually ready for our lives to be taken away? And what are we doing with the precious time that the Lord has given to us? Are we glorifying Him and sharing our stories with others about what an awesome, loving Father we have? Or are we to a point in our lives where we become too comfortable and start chasing all the things around us on this earth instead of staying focused and living for Him? It's too easy to get comfortable in your relationship and start to drift away from that gift of life. When asked what the greatest commandment was, Jesus replied this way: love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. We need to be constantly looking to see how much oil is in our lamps and whether or not the light is sufficient when the bridegroom comes, so that we can go out and not be left when the door is shut. Peter said Satan goes around like a roaring lion seeking who he can devour, and none of us are immune from that. None of us are beyond the potential of falling into the traps of the world system. That is why Jesus left us this parable to warn us. It is not only important to have a lamp, it is not only important to get it burning, it is absolutely important to keep it burning until the bridegroom arrives. I believe if we all knew that today was our last day on this earth, there would be at least three things we would do. I believe everyone would bring their relationship with God up to date. If there is anyone who hears this message this morning and you don't bring things up to date, you're foolish. There were five virgins who were ready and five who were foolish. There are some of you who are ready and some of you who may not be. You may be sitting beside someone who is ready or not. Five had oil and five had none. Five had an experience and five had none. Five depended on yesterday's blessings and five had oil for today and they went in. We become experts at fooling ourselves into believing everything is right on the inside when it's not. God looks not at our outward appearance, but God looks at our inside. He looks at our hearts. And he sees the oil. There needs to be an up-to-date experience with God. We cannot inherit our experience. We need to get involved and we need to keep the oil flowing. You have to be filled with the Holy Spirit daily, and you have to come up-to-date in your relationship with God daily. Life is short. We all know that. We've seen a lot of our friends and relatives and people that we know that have passed at a young, early age. We have to learn to prioritize our life, and God must come first. Family is next, and then the rest should fall into line. You need to be ready for Jesus' second coming. But I believe there's a second thing you would do if you knew today was your last day. You would be kind and forgiving to one another. How do I say this? I have been to funerals where I've heard people say, if I had only known this was going to be their last day, there are things I would have made right. But friends, there is a more important day coming when you're going to have to stand before God and give an account. Are you going to find out at that time that you did not follow through with the most Christian thing that we are to do, which is forgiving one another? This is one of the hardest things for us as Christians to do. And I'm not just talking about you, but I'm talking about myself as well. If we don't overlook injustices, even when we have a right to have them, we have to have forgiveness in our hearts. I can just about guarantee you that within a year's time, someone is going to do something to you that you feel is wrong, and we need to learn how to handle those situations by bathing ourselves in the cleansing power of the Holy Spirit to bring us forgiveness. We are human, and we are flesh, and we are sinful, and we need to realize we're going to occasionally be mistreated. People are even going to disappoint us. And that's why we're supposed to look to Christ instead of to man. We are going to have to go to the foot of the cross and to get rid of this hatred and bitterness and revenge and disappointments in our lives. We would all be doing better if we did what God calls us to do and just forgive. If you believe today was your last day, I believe there would be some phone calls made today. We all know Jesus is coming soon, and we need to get things taken care of. You need to go to that person or persons as quick as you can, and you need to settle the account so that God can bless you. God forgives every sin that we commit if we just ask, but he also calls for us to forgive our neighbor who has trespassed against us. Finally, number three. If you knew today were your last day, you would not be putting off things of eternal value. I want to just mention a few of them that I thought of. You would not put off the biblical truth of tithing. God told Malachi to tell the people of Israel, "You robbed me. You took the money you were to give and you spent it on yourself." If you knew that you were going to stand before God today and hear him say to you that you robbed me, you kept money from me and spent it on yourself and prevented people from being saved, and you kept buildings from being built and kept ministries from reaching out to God's people, what would you do today before you leave here? I believe if today were to be your last day, you would do the work of the evangelist. You'd want to see those friends, neighbors, and family members who don't know Jesus brought into the kingdom. And you would share in your last hours the gospel message of Christ. I believe if you knew today were going to be your last day, you would confess all your hidden sins, sins that nobody knows about, but you hide them in the attic of your heart. The Bible says, midnight the cry came. Five virgins were ready, five were not. Let me tell you, it's about midnight. Some of you may have opened your heart to Christ, and someday you will walk to the door and find that as some of you may not have opened your heart to Christ, excuse me, and someday you will walk to the door and find that it has been shut. Jesus is asking each one of us to come to him with a teachable spirit, eager to be changed. A close walk with me is a life of continual newness. Do not cling to old ways as you step into the new year. Instead, seek my face with an open mind, knowing that your journey with me involves being transformed by the renewing of your mind. As you focus your thoughts on me, be aware that I am fully attentive to you. I see you with a steady eye because my attention span is infinite. I know and understand you completely. My thoughts embrace you in everlasting love. I also know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Give yourself fully to this adventure of increasing attentiveness to my presence and spending time with me daily. And we're talking about time. For those of you that were here for Sabbath school a couple weeks ago, I touched on some figures that I found on a survey that had been taken on what the average person does with their time in a lifetime. And I was just blown away at the amount of hours. In other words, for watching television, they had that the average person watches television an average of 10 years in a lifetime. 6 months sitting at stoplights, a year looking for misplaced objects, 8 months opening junk mail, 2 years on the internet, 4 years doing housework, 7.5 years listening to the radio, 5.5 years driving a car. And this is the part that really shocked me and just made me sick. 70 days reading the Bible. So you think about the amount of time that people are spending in front of a television and doing all these other things that are distracting in life instead of spending your time in God's Word and drawing a closer relationship with Him. It just seems like a terrible waste. In conclusion, have you ever wondered what the Lord wants you to do with your life? Take a careful look at your life. Are you too busy? Are you investing time in His plans, or are you pursuing your own agenda? Are you denying God the best that you can be? As stewards of God's precious gift of time, we should always consider whether we are living wisely according to His will or just on a roller coaster drifting through life. Ask God to give you the grace to redeem your time wisely and ask Him to number your days aright. This is going to be my prayer that we will earnestly be seeking Him and living to His will every day, and living life to glorify Him like it is going to be our last day on this earth. As I close with that deep thought, just think about it. It may very well be. Are you ready? Will you now please bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? Oh, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that we will all make a better use of our time, Lord, and be able to be good stewards with the time that You've given us, Father, and that each day that we'll be earnestly seeking You and to fill our hearts with You, Father. Lord, I pray for the Holy Spirit to be dwelling within our lives and for us to be living according to Your will and to be doing the work for You, Father, instead of wasting our time on foolish things here on this earth, like sitting in front of a television. Lord, I thank You for the gift of life that You've given us, and I pray that each one of us will use every second of our life, of every day, Lord, that we have to spend with You, drawing a closer relationship and a closer walk with You, Father, and to be spreading Your love and Your kindness and Your grace and mercy to everyone that we come in contact, Lord, with. Thank You for the opportunity to be able to serve You, Father, and for all the blessings that You bestow upon us each and every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.